Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So a few weeks ago, three New Jersey residents were elected to the Congress of the Dominican Republic to represent Dominicans abroad. More recently, on June 17th, a New Yorker was elected to the French legislature to represent French expats. This expat representation, as we're calling it, got us thinking, is this the next step in globalization or a new model for democracy? Turns out it's happening in more places than we even initially realized. So joining me now to talk about expatriates voting is Rainer Baubach, professor of social and political theory at the European University Institute in Italy. Rainer Baubach, hello from New York.
Good morning to New York.
We have noticed this concept of recently with the French election and the Dominican election of representatives in the legislature. You told us off the air that there are 15 countries in this category. Is this something that's happening more and more?
It seems to be the case. Actually, the latest count, to correct myself, is 16. More and more countries generally introduce expat voting. But the big majority of these just allow the expats to vote in electoral districts in their countries of origin. The minority group of now 16 countries also has special representation where the expats vote for reserved seats in the legislatures of their country of origin.
And from left to right on your alphabet table, Algeria, Angola, Cape Verde, Colombia, Cook Islands, Croatia, Dominican Republic, Estonia, France, Guinea-Bissau, Haiti, Italy, Morocco, Mozambique, and Portugal. That's a lot of countries allowing expats to vote. Could you spell out
now
what
you
it...
Should,
sorry, go
you,
ahead.
You should add to this Macedonia, which also should be on the list.
Thank you. Could you really spell out what it means to have legislative representation for expats? What are they actually supposed to do? What do they do?
Well, the difference is obviously if expats vote in their homelands for representatives who are mostly elected by the resident citizens living there, then the special interests of expats are less likely to be heard compared to a situation where the expats vote for their own representatives so that the MP will then completely depend on the expat vote. So it's in a way a way of strengthening the special interest of the diaspora in homeland politics.
And we should clarify, in case it isn't already clear, that this is different from what we talked about on the show yesterday, which was Mexicans in the New York, New Jersey area voting in the Mexican presidential elections. That's expats voting for president there. We're talking now about expats actually voting for a representative from here who is a voting member of the legislature in another country. And listeners, our lines are open on this. If you're a member of a diaspora, we want to hear from you on whether this pertains in your country of origin and or whether you think this is a good idea. Tell us if your country is one of the 16 that has an established representative for expatriates, and tell us how it works. Italians listening, you know about this in your country? Colombians, Croatians, Algerians, Moroccans, anyone else? How's the system working out? And if you're from somewhere that doesn't have the system, would you like it? 212-433-WNYC. Do you think there are particular interests that expatriates have in their country of origins that need to be represented? Is it true in your country's case? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And Professor, immigration is not new. So what do you think has brought this on? Why have more countries started doing this in recent years?
Immigration is not at all new. What is more a recent development is that the sending states of immigrants are much keener in keeping transnational ties with their expats abroad. And they do so for a variety of reasons, partly economic, because they're interested in the remittances, sometimes also politically. And this has spurred, of course, also an interest by people you might call ethnic entrepreneurs in the diaspora to mobilize the diaspora and to make it more influential in homeland politics.
Three representatives in the Dominican Congress, as I mentioned before, are from New Jersey, and one of them also joins us now. Alfredo Rodriguez is congressman-elect for the Dominican Republic's Overseas District 1, which encompasses all of Canada and the United States, other than Florida. How's that for a legislative district? All of Canada and the United States, excluding Florida. He owns the Extra supermarket chain and lives in Bergen County. Welcome to WNYC, Congressman-elect Rodriguez. Hello.
Hello, hello. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. So you'll be sworn into your post in August, I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about how this will work? Will you be living part-time in New Jersey and part-time in Santo Domingo?
Yeah, I'll be living basically part-time in New Jersey and part-time in the Dominican Republic because you have Dominicans that need to be take care of their needs in the United States. So if you spend most of the time in the Dominican Republic, so they're going to lose interest on what is it that you're going to do for them, because they have a lot of concerns about things that they do in the Dominican Republic that the government there is not taking care of.
Why did you want this job? What do you hope to accomplish, and for whom?
Well, you know, I came to the United States when I was 6 years old, and then I came here with the American dream that I was able to fulfill. But there's a lot of Dominicans in the Dominican Republic that want to have their own dreams there, and it seems like it's some government is not taking care of most of their needs. So I think that we Dominicans that are here, we understand both worlds, the United States and the Dominican Republic, and we have a lot of interest in the Dominican Republic.
So is it to help Dominicans in the Dominican Republic, as I think I just heard you say, or is it to represent the interests of Dominicans in the diaspora in some way?
Well, when you help Dominicans in the Dominican Republic, you are representing the interests of the Dominicans here. But besides that, when they throw laws in the Dominican Republic, for example, Dominicans could take cars only if they're 5 years, below 5 years. But they cannot take it after 5 years. Over there, they don't understand that it takes you more than 5 years to take to pay for a lease or a loan or whatever you buy a car. But besides that, no, Dominicans can't afford to take a $20,000 or $30,000 car after 5 years. So we have to make sure that the laws that they throw there apply to the interests of the Dominicans that live in the exterior.
Why wouldn't they want cars older than 5 years being brought by Dominicans from this country to that country? Is it to protect the car dealers in the Dominican Republic so they can have sales?
I guess that's one of the major reasons, and they might put other things in it, but that's one of the reasons. But we also have had Dominicans in the exterior buying properties and buying houses and buying things, and when they go back there, they have nothing. There's a high volume of fraud, and there's no one to protect them. So there is a major interest in the exterior for Dominicans, an interest that they have in the Dominican Republic that no one is taking care of.
Mm-hmm. So there are particular expat interests. And I'm curious, you represent such a huge area, as I mentioned, all of Canada and all of the United States except for Florida. I guess Florida is its own district because there are so many Dominicans there. I understand that you campaigned in Canada and across the U.S., do you think that the important issues for Dominicans in Toronto, say, are the same as for Dominicans in Atlanta or Trenton or Washington Heights?
Yeah, those problems that I presented to you before are a general problem that every Dominican has that are out of the Dominican Republic. There are particular problems that maybe someone gets sick in the Dominican Republic or something happened that they have a concern that we need to move some paperwork or they need to understand some of the laws and how to get the right lawyer. You know, things like that that we could be of great help helping Dominicans here in the exterior, which they don't have because the people that represent the senators and congressmen there, they come over here and they say, no, we don't represent you. You don't vote for me now. Since they voted for their congressman here in the exterior, now they have someone that could stress their voice, and whoever doesn't do a good job, the next time around, they're going to vote them out. So
yeah. So you're going to
a major interest there.
Yeah. like any member of any Congress. Now you're going to have to start raising money and getting ready for a re-election campaign. And we thank Alfredo Rodriguez. He is now Congressman-elect in the Dominican Republic's Overseas District 1, which encompasses all of Canada and the United States, excluding Florida. It's an expat seat. Thank you very much. We hope to talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.
And we continue on this theme of 16 countries now allowing expatriates to be elected to the legislatures in those countries with Professor Rainer Baubach. He is professor of social and political theory at the European University Institute in Italy. What do you think, Professor, about what Congressman-elect Rodriguez just said about his very large district? And I see France's District 11 encompasses countries as different as Japan and Ukraine in one district for an expat seat. What do these giant districts mean, and what do they mean for democracy?
Well, it's the nature of migration that people are dispersed across a territory. So the big size of these electoral districts is not really surprising. What I think is slightly more problematic is the idea that diaspora members, as members of the diaspora, all share some common interests. They do, of course, and the congressman has pointed out some of these very practical concerns. But at the same time, legislators are elected to vote on many, many issues that have nothing to do with the diaspora. They sit in the legislative assembly, and they are called to represent the general interests of the country and its population. So I find it slightly problematic to make the special interests of the diaspora the exclusive ground for a mandate for a member of parliament. But on the other hand, there are certain countries that have adopted the system of special representation of the diaspora instead of merging the votes of the experts with all of the other votes. And that reason is, in a way, to weigh down the weight of the diaspora. Because one thing that the congressman has not pointed out is that in some countries there is a perceived conflict of interest between the diaspora and the domestic population. And where the diaspora is very large, the domestic electorate might actually have a concern that they could be outvoted in a way, or at least that the electoral result could be determined in the last instance by the diaspora vote.
Yeah.
And some of these countries have said it's better to give them reserved seats to control the impact of the electoral weight of the diaspora compared to an open-ended system where their votes will just be thrown in with the general electorate.
Let's hear from a few callers right now who come from countries that do allow their diasporas to vote in their national elections, or more particularly elect representatives from the diaspora to represent them back in the home country. Hamza on Staten Island, originally from Morocco. Yes, Hamza?
I wanted to just say that I believe that the expatriates voting towards other countries is actually it's not actually a fair standard, because my parents are capable of doing that. But however, if they do so, the public always receives an amount that was given as votes by the expatriates. However, there's never any transparency or any way to verify or know whom they voted for. And usually it is the leading parties, you know, the current regime, who it favors towards. The issue is that it has no basis because there's no transparency, and it's flawed. Either way, it's flawed, because I could just write down any names of an expatriate and say, yes, he gave me a vote. Where is the proof?
Thank you. I think you raise an important issue. And, Professor, I think there was an accusation with respect to France, too, that creating a diaspora seat was motivated by the Conservative Party because the people who tend to emigrate tend to be better off, tend to be more business-oriented, tend to be more conservative. Do you think that's a pattern?
Yeah, indeed, these are two concerns that come up in many debates. One is about the verification issue that was mentioned by the Moroccan gentleman. How can you make sure that the vote is actually cast by the person who is counted in the electoral register? But that's a very general problem that is also true in any domestic election where you have mail ballots. So it's not specific for the diaspora in any particular way. The other issue is that the reforms that introduce external voting are very often decided on partisan grounds by incumbent governments who expect to gain because they think that the expert vote will be in their favor.
Interesting. Mauricio, let me go on to another call because we're going to run out of time. I want to get some more voices in here. Mauricio in Manhattan, hi.
Brian, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I'd like to add a country to the list. I think it would be 17. Ecuador also has direct representatives in the U.S. and Canada and other regions around the world. This is actually in response to the fact that almost 3 to 4 million Ecuadorians currently live outside of the country.
Do you think it's good in Ecuador's case?
Well, I think in Ecuador's case, it's justified by the fact that most of the people, I think it's 66% of expats, of Ecuadorian expats, became so after the economy was dollarized. They became the buffer for the Ecuadorian economy. They became the number one economic resource, even greater than petroleum.
Because they're sending back so much money. Mauricio, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. And your line is breaking up, so I'm not sure I caught all of that, but I think I got the main point. Let's go to Joao, originally from Guinea-Bissau, right?
Yes, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. And you?
I'm fine, thank you. Yes, as I was saying to your screen, for the case of Guinea-Bissau, actually the Constitution allows diaspora to vote. However, the government has never taken the steps necessary to make it possible. So we don't vote from overseas because the government has not allowed us to actually participate. However, just like one of your last callers, I believe, it makes perfect sense for the diaspora to be allowed to vote because the remittances from the diaspora is actually greater than all the foreign investment that the country receives from overseas. I believe this is data from the State Department that mentions that. So it makes sense. And as a journalist also myself and an author based in the United States, I've participated and continue to participate directly by writing articles about the fact that Guinea-Bissau has become the major hub in West Africa for drugs. So I use my experience here from what I learned in the United States to try to educate people back home about the dangers of drug, international drug trafficking. It makes sense for us to vote.
Mm-hmm. Joao, I'm going to leave it there because we're just about out of time, but I certainly get your point. And Professor Babak, a final question. Do you think there is an ideal way to do this? Because we've certainly heard about some of the problems with it from you and from our callers. We have 30 seconds.
I think the trend is unstoppable. The best way to do it is to make sure that there will be some kind of agreement between the host country and the country of origin to deal with the adverse effects. But I think in the general case, the better system is to let experts vote, but to let them vote on homeland issues in the homeland district instead of sending their special interest representatives into a legislative assembly.
Rainer Baubach, professor of social and political theory at the European University Institute in Italy, and our callers and our other guests now elected from New Jersey to represent most of the U.S. and Canada in the Dominican Congress on expats voting in or sitting in the legislatures of their countries of origin. Thank you so much, Professor.
Thank you.
And we'll finish up today in just a minute with none other than Kurt Anderson from Studio 360 on entertaining Kings County and redesigning Canada. Stay with us.